In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. The readings today offer an absolute cornucopia of texts that we could choose. But I choose, I think, the simplest text I could find. One, I promise you, that will be readily memorable. It is found four times in our reading from Colossians, verses 16, 17, 19, and 22. And the text is this: in him. You can remember that. And if you wonder who him is, I just throw you back to Sunday school times, when I remember attending a Sunday school class a few times, and whenever the teachers asked a question, the answer always was Jesus. In him, Jesus. The video, as they say, is now viral, and I admit to playing a little role in its virality. The psychologist is teaching stress management to a knowing professional audience. She raises a glass of water, and they expect the half-full, half-empty comment. But smiling, she inquires, "How heavy is this glass of water?" Now, the answers range from 8 ounces to 20 ounces, but she replies, "The absolute weight does not matter. It all depends how long I hold it. If I hold it for a minute, it's not a problem. If I hold it for an hour, I will have an ache in my arm. If I hold it for a day, my arm will feel numb and paralyzed. In each case, the weight does not matter, but what matters is how long I hold it." The stresses and worries in life, she continues, are like that glass of water. When we ponder them for a while, nothing happens. When we think about them a bit longer, they begin to hurt. But when we think about them all the time, we become paralyzed, incapable of doing anything. And so she concludes, it is important to remember to let go of your stresses. I suggest drink the water. As often as possible, put the burden down. Remember to put the glass down. Now, this is good. This is excellent. But I want to ask her, but how do I do that? Where do I place the glass? All the stresses and burdens, all the horrors of life. And the writer of Colossians has a simple, though not simplistic, answer. His answer is this: in him. With bloody revolution in Turkey, with the vilest act perpetrated in Nice, we continue as sentient, rational beings to be pummeled, assailed, battered by the stress and stresses of living in this aching world. Whereas Anne-Marie reminded us last week, everyone is our neighbor, and we are neighbor to everyone. Now, over these past weeks, there has been enormous common ground as people of goodwill, Christian or not Christian, have responded to yet more horrors. But today I want to do my best to offer to you and to me a uniquely Christian response. The writer to the Colossians, if not Paul, definitely of the Pauline school, places creation past, preservation present, and restoration future all in him, in Jesus. creation past, verse 16. Everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him. Now, this theological statement makes me uncomfortable as I think about this past week. I do not want to be related in any way to the perpetrators of unconscionable abominations, of previously unimaginable turpitude. But I am not allowed by this theological statement to make such a divide. I want to be of a different kind to these wretched people. But I find myself not of a different kind, but merely of a different quality. And this rattles me to my core. You see what I mean? We want to say it's them. And they are totally distinct. They were created somehow in a different box by a different creator. But we cannot say that. It rattles us to our core, our innate possibility to do the most beautifully good or the most ugly horror. It seems theologically we are left with no pleasant cordon sanitaire, no chasm between us and those who disturb our deepest being. And then preservation, present. Verse 17, in him all things hold together. As the message says, he holds it all together. Right up to this very moment, when we cannot hold it together, he does. We are preserved. This is what someone taught me is the great pickling prayer of the Psalms. When we are with those and they cannot find a way forward, it seems for the moment that hell is their close companion, what we can do is to pray the pickling prayer from the Psalms. Lord, preserve them. Preserve them until things change. Preserve them until they have strength and hope and light. As we dread, as we should, the crumbling of foundations and the erosion of fundamentals, as we are almost losing it, he is holding it all together. Restoration future, verse 22. In him we are reconciled so as to be presented holy and blameless and irreproachable. Listen to this from the Message translation. Christ is putting your lives together, whole and holy. Elsewhere in the New Testament, we read these words. I often bring them to mind. Putting everything in subjection to Christ, God has left nothing outside his control. Really? Really? But the writer continues, but as it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection, but we do see Jesus. There is no military hunter, no maniacal butcher that will ever have the last word. That uniquely and only forever belongs to God. In the end, God. And this is no apocalyptic sop. But rather a vigorous hope that makes living today possible. But these can remain dry and arid theological statements without practical spiritual counsel. And so here it is, almost in conclusion. In him. In him we enjoy an unrestricted, unconfined, panoramic vision. And this is granted to us as we commit ourselves to worship. Yet I will praise him, is the authentic word of the psalmist. To worship is not to deny the horrors of our world, but to place them in perspective. To worship is not to evade pain, but to establish it in the almighty heart of God. Worship. In him we are secure. Yes, on an eternal stage. God's name is a place of protection. Good people run there and are safe. Pray as best you can, as often as you can, wherever you can. Pray for others by name, by place, by country. But pray. In him we take courage. Courage of a quality and a kind given by the Lord in supernatural ways by the majestic power of the Holy Spirit. If you wish to go it alone, God help you. I will ask for courage. Courage. And in him, we find ourselves in community. We share our burdens, and so they are eased. And as we share the burden of others by some divine magic, we are strengthened. Remain in community. Today, in the name of Christ, Malcolm and Robert are baptized. To a few, this may seem as yet another baptism. To a few, it's a quaint, ancient rite of passage. But in divine reality, what takes place at 10 o'clock today is that these boys are being touched at a primal level. There is a psychic change taking place. There is a cosmic realignment. And all because they are being affirmed in him, in Christ. I yearn for them and for us to live in the dynamic power of knowing that we are in him. Amen. Amen.